to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow, and with me, as always, is Thaxos.
Hey, hey.
Tobias Creed.
Hey, hey, hey.
And with us as special guest from Vokchi Clan in England, we have Saz.
I'm doing this interview naked.
The PR guy says this too, you know. It's like, you want, mind your P's and Q's, and this guy's like, I'm naked. You know, I used to kill the intro with the stupid things I say, but it wasn't me this month.
All right, now that we got that out of the way. So welcome to the podcast, Saz. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm the PR officer.
Yeah.
I do PR things.
Mm-hmm.
I PR a lot.
Mm-hmm. When did you join the Mercs?
Oh, yeah, I joined the Mercs in, I think it was 2010. I can't be too sure because it was a bit hazy back in those days.
Mm.
So it's one of those things I never actually genuinely wanted to join the Mercs. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happened? Who got you hooked?
I did. It was just one of those things. Is that I really like making stuff, mm-hmm. and I'd started making my own Boba Fett helmet because I really wanted to make my own Boba Fett helmet because I'm quite cheap. And so I didn't really want to spend all the money that eBay was asking for a Boba Fett helmet. So I thought, I know I can do this myself. So it took me 2 years to eke out measurements and sizes and looked at photos and stuff like that. And I built my own helmet. And I went on to the dented helmet, saw the Mercs on there and went, I'll have a look, see what goes on there, and then from that pod it went down to a slippery slope, and now I'm possibly the most hated man in the Mercs.
Huh. Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I know the fact that he's probably the most hated man, but then he's a moose, so who cares?
Yeah, he's certainly the most hated moose. So that's, you know, it's really its own category. It's like best actress in a supporting role.
Plus, I have photographic evidence that he did dirty things to me, so there you go.
There you go.
What happens at Celebration Europe 2 stays at Celebration Europe 2. Come on.
I suppose that's true.
Unless it happens again at Celebration Europe 3.
Well, I'm hopefully coming to C7, so...
Even sooner.
I'll get my revenge. I shall have my revenge.
So when you joined up, was the Vokchi clan around, or were you part of founding that clan?
No, Vokchi clan has been around. It's actually the one of the oldest clans in the Mercs. I think it was the third or fourth. I know it was built just at the end, or it came out into being just at the end of 2007, just after Tom had started the Mercs. I know that Stu, who was known as Prudy or Shadow Vokchi, started the Mercs, and he's still around. We like, as with most people, real life sometimes gets in the way. I suppose the start of the modern Vokchi was when both Remo and I joined. Remo joined about 3 months before I did, I think. I think I came in March, and I think he'd just done one troop in December 2009.
Sounds about right.
And first time we met was when I got my kit done at Milton Keynes, and also met Chris Jazra, but she was just doing her kit. Darman Scarata, he was a member. Aiden Carter, he was also a member. He's probably one of the youngest members there, but he was actually one of the oldest members who actually get their kit approved. So there was a lot of the what became the modern Vokci, and I've still got the photograph of all the people who were there on that day. I've still got it in my bedroom. I keep that first photograph because that was my first ever time that I trooped. So, as most people are, it's possibly the most special troop that you have.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Mm.
I can't remember
so
my
was
line.
Quite to get as we...
Yeah, I can't remember what my first troop was, but I know it was special.
That's special that you can't remember it.
Yep.
Right. that's why I took a photograph of it, so I could just remember all the people that I was with. So once senility finally set in, I could then at least have some visual reference anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So were you involved in any of the clan officer positions, or did you jump right into PR? When did you get involved in a further element of the Mercs beyond just being a member?
Well, the one thing that I offered the Vokci straight away was my experience I have a degree in graphic design and a degree in product design, and I also used to run a pro wrestling company. So I had all the marketing, all the different types of skills that were needed, and I used a lot of those skills to help build up the wrestling company that I had. So I offered those to the Vokci, and I suppose, you know, when you offer that sort of thing out, and hopefully without trying to blow my own trumpet, you know, you get yourself recognised by what you produce, and I hoped at the time that what I produced did get me noticed. I think I was a Rooselaw for about a month,
mm-hmm.
and then people kept on saying, well, you should go for the PR thing, you'd be great for it. So I listened, and I was actually at London Film and Comic Con when I actually applied for the role. So I did it on my phone, which was quite interesting because you've got to deal with autocorrect and all that malarkey. So. But yeah, so I did it, and I got the job, you know. In all honesty, I didn't really actually want to be PR, but everyone just kept nagging me, so I did it. So I didn't really want to be a Merc. I didn't really want to be PR officer, but here we are.
Did you really want to be on this podcast either?
No, not really. No. Except I think it wasn't the threat of you showing all the other different pictures that happened at CE2. I make that sound like quite a negative thing, but it's not that I didn't want to. It's just that I'm not really sure how to. Yeah, it's one of those things where I didn't join the Mercs to become a member of the council. I certainly didn't join the Mercs to become a member of a PR officer. I came to because I quite enjoyed the idea, and I slowly got convinced that the Mercs is the right place to be, and it had the right attitude, and it had the right members, and it has had something that I felt was called camaraderie. It's something that I find very big. I always find that people who work together create a close bond, and I enjoy that close bond more than anything, and I found more of it in the Mercs than I have in any other venture that I've ever done. So, but yeah, I enjoy the Mercs. The reason that I do what I do is because I enjoy the Mercs, and I enjoy the camaraderie, and I enjoy the people, and I truly believe in the way that the Mercs is running, the way that works, the Mercs goes forward and performs its tasks throughout the world, really. And the nice thing is I get, especially with my job, I get to speak to a lot of people from different countries and different places, and just to see how successful they are, it's really heartwarming. I mean, when I was at Legoland this weekend, I think the one thing that really sunk into my heart, to be honest about it, was we've the Vokci have finally got a few female members of the clan. We've always had Chris Jazra, but she's a bit of a tomboy, so she doesn't really come out from us. And I'll be free to say that because she'd totally agree with me. But we've Ken's wife Nala coming in there, and Colin's wife, Alex. Yeah, they've both made kits, and they've come out. And I tell you what, looking at the faces of young girls, looking at the Mandos, and you can see the realization in their face that they've got girls, they've got a pink Mando. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, Nala was possibly the most popular person there, and she's always had girls coming over to her. So I think the one thing, you know, you never come into anything expecting to know everything, and there's always a new lesson to learn. And this weekend was a lesson that I learned was that pink Mandos, there's a demographic for pink Mandos as well.
Oh yeah.
And I think a female Mando, from what I've seen, because I've never seen it in the positive light. I've seen it from CE2 point of view, but that was generally a lot of people there were talking German, so I didn't understand what they were saying.
Right.
But actually seeing it in English and looking at the looks on these girls' faces, I also realised over this weekend that there are a lot of people in our club who are positive role models for young children. And I think that's a very, very important aspect. And it's just another thing that I love about the Mercs.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
I, too, love that there are women in the Mercs. Well, I mean, in all honesty, like, from my standpoint on that was, like, you know, I found out about the Mercs, and I'd said, finally decided, yeah, cool, I want to make a Mandalorian costume, I'll do that. And I was lucky enough that my wife, Ark, decided, well, I'm not going to get left out of that. So I got to, like, help make two sets of armor, and I get to go troop with my wife all the time, so that's pretty rad.
Well, I'm quite glad she did as well, because to be fair, she's on my team, and I don't think I'd know what I'd do without her, to be honest. She's an absolute star as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
None of them saying it because you're there. I'm saying it's the truth.
No, it's true.
She's really put a lot of effort into her role, and you know, props where props is due. She works very hard. I was going to say bloody hard, but I don't know if that was going to be faith is to say, but she does work hard, as does Ken Snaps. Yep. As well, he's another person who I've given a more commanding role in the PR team. And I mean, I think a lot of people don't quite realize, you know, even though I'm the person who's ultimately responsible for it, there are a lot of great members out there who actually work hard behind the scenes and who also make decisions. I'm not always the person who makes decisions. I may support the decisions of my team members, and I may be the one who takes it on the chin, so to speak, in less popular sort of things. But there are people who work hard behind the scenes, and each one of them, I believe, they should know how I feel about them anyway, because hopefully I keep telling them. But the one thing I think a lot of people have to understand is that a lot of the council members and a lot of people in power have a lot of people behind them who help them to do things. And that's another part that you love about the Mercs, is that there are people out there who are willing to put their own personal time and their own personal initiative into helping this club grow. And you can't get better than that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, for myself, too, the web team, I've got, I think, 5 or 6 people. One or two of them, you know, can only commit some time, but, you know, it's still great that they're putting in the some of the limited time that they do have. Beyond their heavy work schedule, to just help out with the Merc site, you know. And if it weren't for all of the behind the scenes team members, you know, the Mercs wouldn't be what it is right now.
Mm. I mean, we wouldn't be talking now.
No.
if this kind of dedication to wearing plastic armor and running around pretending that you're a character from Star Wars hadn't taken hold. So, you know, a lot of people work hard for this club, and I think the one thing is a lot of people feel that they're not appreciated. So I think if there's one message that I'd like to say out to all the listeners is that, yes, I do appreciate everything that you do. I know what you do. I know how hard you work for this club, and you do have my personal thanks and respect and appreciation.
Hear, hear.
Let's move on into some Mercs news, of which we have a pretty solid amount this month.
That we do.
A lot of it partially thanks to the May the 4th Awards, which wrapped up very recently. Personally, I'm all thrilled because I finally cracked the 25 career invasions, so I'm all about that.
Awesome.
I know that a couple other people did. Yeah, too. You just got in. See, it like, and that kind of puts me to shame because you got in, like, I've got at least a year on you, and I only just did it. So, props to you.
I'm just a little too crazy for this stuff.
That's good, though. It's good. It rewards people's enthusiasm for the group, you know. And it's a fun award that, you know, it's not so much a bragging right as it is just a fun award to celebrate the fact that people are putting in all this hard work.
Apart from, of course, if like me, you lose out by one vote.
It happens, Saz, all right?
Hydra!
I just have a problem with the Invasion number 50 winner, okay?
Yes, hey, everybody,
you know what?
Everybody
you
does.
Know what? That person is not the first person to hit 50. Last year, there were a couple, I think. Yeah, there were, I believe, three people who have already hit that 50 Invasion mark. So
where's the next, like, there shouldn't there be another, like, tier or something? Like,
no,
75?
No one's hit 75 yet.
Yeah, there is 75, and then it's 100. And then you've
then you've broken the awards.
Yeah.
Then
you're forced to leave the club for being such a smug git. You know, that's effectively what it is.
Yeah, so budget your events wisely.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Invasion, because you can actually check this out on the forums, I'm looking at the official list of people who have had 50 Invasions. So we got Thaxos, newest member of the Mile 50 Club.
Yeah, I just got that.
Tasson Phoenix, Solus Cure, and Ka Loar all got in last year. So.
Yeah, so those three, of course, are all from Arizona, because they've got millions of events there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher up in the Great White North to troop when there's nothing happening for 4 months straight because of snow. You know, it's... actually, how many years? I guess it's coming up on five. So, you know, 10 a year. It's not all that much.
Yeah, I think I do about 8 a year.
Yeah.
It's not a question of how many you do. It's just the fact of just regularly getting out and doing something. It soon builds itself up. Mm. I mean,
exactly.
I know. I'm bordering on 25 myself. I've got to have a quick check about some of my stats because I'm not 100% sure that everything's been reported. But you know, May 4th's gone. That's the end of the story. So, tough luck, Saz. But it's. It is generally, as far as I see it, I've got through 8 a year. I've been picking up to 8 a year quite regularly. So even that's going to pick up to 15, 16, you know, in 2 years. So, you know, if you see an event, the fact is, it's just turning up somewhere, putting on your kit is classed as an event in the club. It's not exactly the hardest slog in the world. I mean, as far as the joke goes, you can literally put your kit on, take a photo, and get out, and that's classed as a troop. So, yeah. I mean,
you gotta leave the house though.
Yes.
You can't take a photo in your basement.
turn it to a kid's birthday party is classed as a troop. You know, just going out in, well, I suppose the only time is you're going down the shops in your kit. That's just weird. It's not really a troop. That's where you need to start really questioning your self-esteem, really.
That's the daily horrors.
And your sanity.
Yeah.
I could have made it to 50 if I didn't miss so much. I've gone through so many kit upgrades that I had to miss so many.
It happens. And, but you know. The number's not what's important so much as the fact that you're... No, it's the fact that you've been doing charity work at those events, and that's something to be proud of. And the awards are a nice way to celebrate people putting in the effort, and also to remind people that, hey, you need to submit those invasion reports so Point can keep track of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so if you're noticing troops have been missed, talk to your clan officer, see if maybe it's a mix-up on their end, or if you forgot to perhaps tell them that you trooped an event, because they're not mind readers.
Well, the other thing is the lesson I've learned is just keep a spreadsheet of your troops.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave it for somebody else to keep a record of your stuff. Keep a record of it yourself. Make sure you've got the date, make sure you've got the times, make sure you've got where you were, and make sure you've got a photograph if you can. Because I know I went to a troop in Burnley yesterday. I was on my own, so I had no one to take photographs of me. So I was kind of hoping that I might sneak up in the back of a photograph so I could prove it. yeah. Just looked on Facebook, not a sausage. So, but I know I was there, and you know I've got people from the Rebel Legion who'd say that they saw me there as long as I pay them enough, and so even if you don't have photographic evidence, doesn't mean that it's gas. The other thing is also we've made a nice handy dandy form, but that form generally tends to go into the news report. So if you've got something that you don't really think should go into the news report, don't forget to contact the CAO's office yourself personally. Even though the Alarads have a duty to bring all the troops that are given to them at the end of the month to the CAO, sometimes things get missed, sometimes things get forgotten, sometimes things get lost in translation. So always take personal responsibility of your own and troops. I've made the mistake. I've had to learn from it. I think I've probably missed out on my 25 troops this year because of it. So, you know, let me be the lesson that everyone can learn from.
And before I get a slew of emails and messages saying, where is this form I submit the invasion reports to? That's for clan officers.
Right. Ruzalors and up.
Yep. Well, and squad leaders too. But yes. Yeah, the clan officers have access to two forms. One is for an invasion report with a photo. The other one's for without the photo. It just streamlines the process. So if you've tripped an event and your officer may or may not be aware of it, just send them a message, give them the relevant information, like the date, the name of the event, who all attended, the photo, a little brief description, and they can send that in. So, since we've got a whole bunch of awards, we're going to see if we can blast through these pretty quickly. All right, so for this year's May 4th awards, the voted categories, we've got a couple. We're going to go through those right now. So, Deadly Alliance, we had one by Keelan Ord, Tact Corps, Moscow Cal, Rex Admiral, and Tenon Ord of the Gat Kirbez Club clan.
Canadian favoritism.
So congrats to those guys. Oh, come on, there's three Canadian clans.
Yeah.
We're doing all right.
But we have Best Newbie 2014 was by Eman Anello from New Hampshire, I believe. So he's in the Firaxan clan at this moment.
And we have the Brigade Medic goes to Cajun from the Netra Viper clan, which is in Nebraska.
You getting in on this, Saz?
No. next. Best Leap won by Hydra!
Hail Hydra.
Get the first one.
Come on, Saz, you gotta say it. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
And then, of course, we've got the Brigade Spec Ops Award, which was won by Demos Ordo down in BVC Clan in Florida.
He also won the Most Accessorized category as well.
The Just Walked Off the Set is won by Kellen Ord. Did I say that right?
Kellen Keelan, yeah.
Yeah, I hate Mando words.
I don't know, he probably pronounces it differently because he's French too.
Yeah.
I can say that because I also speak French and have hung out with those guys. They're a cool bunch. And then following that, we've got Best Blaster, a pistol variant this time. Last year was Best Verpain.
Yep.
Yeah. And that one was won by Zedron Hodag, our very own guildmaster and resident of Wisconsin.
The Is That Real award was won by Jimmy Buffett. I don't know where you are off the top of my head, so I apologize.
He's out there.
He's out there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
The the Skittles award, which is most colorful picture, goes to a bunch of Mando words from some clan out there. Congratulations to those guys.
It's Jagular.
Jagular clan.
Jagular clan, with all those Mando names.
Come on, read them out.
I've tricked
okay.
all of them, so they need the props.
Okay, Vorpan Karam, Sin, Nirobe, I hate myself for all this. Senyar Ordo. That's not a real word. Cirque. Sorry, everybody. Rusalon Ordo. Korek and Jagan Ordo. Sorry, everybody, for pronouncing your names wrong, but congratulations! Oh, yeah! And all that stuff. Mandalorian Mercs for the win!
And finally, we have Daily Horrors, which was won by Dexa Drask.
I forget what the...
So congrats to everyone. Awesome set of awards.
That one was the one where it's really the most like non sequitur one, where it was just people doing the most everyday mundane things in their
tasks.
Armor. Like, yeah, Dexa was handing, I think she was at a Dunkin' Donuts or a Tim Hortons or something along those lines, handing someone a coffee through the drive-thru window.
Okay. I don't remember who I voted for that one.
Yeah, it's like Reverse Fanboys, isn't it? Because if you remember, they got to drive through with Stormtrooper helmets on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yep.
Look at me with my strange Star Wars references, yeah.
So if anyone's curious, the May 4th Awards 2014 announcement is located in the lounge. It's currently stickied, so if you want to go check that out, it's got links to all of the award winners.
Hydra!
So you can see everyone that has their entry on there. Obviously, you know, thanks to everyone that participated, thanks to everyone who voted and helped decide who the winners are. And in addition, there are Poster Boy, Ground Pounder, Hard Contact, and Recruitment awards that go along with. Poster Boy and Ground Pounder are for the individuals. For Poster Boy is appearing in invasion reports, Ground Pounder is for trooping numerous invasions, Hard Contact and Recruitment are for the clans. So Hard Contact is trooping several events with three or more clan members. Recruitment is, of course, recruiting to your clan. And then you've got the individual invasion statuses. So we're not going to go through those lists. They're quite comprehensive and long. But you can go and see those on the thread located on our forums.
In other Mercs news, we also have the appointment of a new judicial officer, Bedlam X, Tommy Sutton. He is, like I said, our new judicial officer. He's, his role is one of arbitration and, you know, things, and is designed to help the Allure, Old Vart, with his role and to be the impartial interpreter of the Codex, bylaws, spirit of the Mercs, and all that sort of, all of our rules and laws, in cases of disciplinary procedures when they come up. And
which hopefully is not all.
Not often. And I mean, the cool thing about that position is it's sort of like its own completely separate office within the Mercs. Like, it is a, it is sort of a council position, but it's not all at once.
It's not a council position.
But he gets to deal with the council.
True, yes.
So it's really its own thing.
It's a sidestep. I think is the best way. It's a sidestep to the council.
Yes.
It's not one where the basic element is that, or the idea behind the whole practice is that we need someone who can be separate to the council, who can look at all the information that's put for it and give them their opinion as a neutral party. Mm-hmm. Because as you may know, we're all human beings and people get vented fury, you know, that's the thing, and you know, we want to avoid people. We want the clan members and the members to trust us to be able to make the right decision. And sometimes we can make mistakes, and we recognise that fact. So we need someone there to allow us to ground ourselves, I suppose, to take the emotion away. Get you know, allow somebody else's or a fresh point of view to come along and say, well, this is so and so, and they have the power to basically tell us whether we can or can't do things. So I think it's a good part, because it certainly knocks any question of bias in the council out of the park. Really, we only do things now. We're really there now as just the people who deal with the problems at the final end of it. We don't deal with any of the trial processes or anything like that anymore. That's left to the Allure's office to sort out. And to be honest, I'm happy with that, because I don't want to get lumped in with everybody else for the whole rigmarole that's been going on when you're when you're sorting a trial, because I've got things to sort out with the PR and so forth. So it takes another burden away from me if I see it selfishly. But at the same time, it also hopefully gives the members that little extra piece of satisfaction that we are going the extra mile to make sure that any decision that comes from the council is a fair one by having an extra person on the side to ensure that we are.
Review.
Yeah, it's to independently look at and see how we're doing, how we're going with it, really.
So congrats to Bedlam X, and get to work.
Hopefully
he won't be too busy. You know, it's one of those jobs.
You did warn him that I was going to talk a lot, didn't you, Sean?
After that whole speech, I got really thirsty for Earl Grey. I don't know why.
casual racism is great.
I'm just glad there's no Canadian jokes. It's wonderful. It says you should be on more often.
Well, there you go. I mean, not everyone puts milk in a bag, do they?
No, most Canadians don't either.
That's because that's dumb.
Yeah, it's quite dumb.
Moving on to other Mercs news, we have several announcements for the Order of the Oriramacad. Namely, for March, Solus Ram, or Ram, let's say Ram.
BBC Clan.
Mostly for pretty much stepping up to fill old Vart shoes, because old Vart moved over to the Allure position.
I might say they're very, very stinky shoes.
Indeed. just the direction that he's taken the BBC in since he stepped up has been really, really amazing. Like, if you check out the their Facebook or their Twitter, they're doing something like every other day.
It's quite the busy clan.
Yeah, and I mean, their recruitment has been up even more than it has in recent years, so he's just done a real bang-up job down there.
Yeah, and he's also repaired bridges between the clan and the garrison down there, because there have been
some rifts.
Yes, but now everything's starting to become, you know, togetherness.
Mm. Yeah, he's been doing a great job, although they didn't get it for the May 4th awards due to the scaling in order to make it fair for clan sizes. BBC clan did get an extra 14 members this past year that they added, so they're an up and growing clan, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone you've noticed, but have you noticed that it's almost like you can almost feel the positivity coming out from the BBC at the moment?
Oh yeah,
you can feel it from them. You know, I think they've got the right people in there at the time. You know, the right people who are dedicated to them. And I think that's I suppose that goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, the members put their heart and souls into it, and they get out what they put in. And I think the fact is that a lot of members of the BBC have put in a lot of work into it. And, you know, I'm from Britain, and even I know that they've done a lot of hard work. So,
oh, definitely.
I know it's my job to know, but a lot of people from my country know about the BBC, and everybody feels the positivity coming from those guys. So yeah, it's definitely earned. So that's all I can say on that matter.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of going down for MAGACON recently, and they're a great group. They've got just seeing their booth alone, they've got a speeder, they've got not a jail cell, but or no, they did have a jail cell, and in addition to that, they also had a standing, I guess, set of shackles that you could enter, as well as a Black Series action figure booth that you, or stand. I don't know how
like
to describe
it. Like a box thing.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know how to describe this thing. It's got
six
sides.
Dude.
It's cuboid in shape. Oh, that's right, a box. So they had that as well, and they just had a fantastic setup. And yeah, they're all great, friendly people down there. So. Solus Ram has been doing a fantastic job on that. So obviously, it's a well-earned Oriramacad appointment for him.
We also have for April. He goes by Gondar is his character's name, but his forum handle is GG Photo for You. Also down from the BBC.
He's been heavily involved in helping out with BBC Clan as well with the building of the props and the event organization and whatnot. And he's been an upstanding character in that regard and just with representing the Mercs as well. So, congrats to him as well.
Well, an additional credit to Gondar is he is also the only one who is not a clan officer of any kind. He is just a guy, just a merc, and so it's really cool to see somebody from the general ranks be recognized for their hard work, because everybody does. Everybody does hard work.
No, I agree with that. I do agree with that totally.
Definitely a good point.
We all do this, and we do like to be positively appreciated for what we do. And the Mercs, being a meritocracy and not a democracy, it's a very important point. That is, it's that we believe that you get out more. Well, you get out at least as much as you put into what you do. And it's nice to see that people who have no interest in, as in they're not in a position where they have to do it, that gets the Orion Macad as well. So it's great to see that someone who, out of that position, also be recognised for the amount of work that they're putting in. He'll probably end up being in a leadership position before he knows it, but that's by the by. Yeah, but for now, well done, mate. Good stuff.
Leadership or one of the teams, definitely. The individuals that make the effort end up finding a position that they can help out further with.
Mm.
Well, I mean, the basic thing is another thing for you. If you want to find yourself in a position of responsibility, first of all, make sure that you really want a position of responsibility, not a position of power. The second thing is that if you recognise that you have skills, or someone has told you got some skills in someone, speak to the council member. Say, have you got a role open for me? Have you got so-and-so and so-and-so? Talk to them. A lot of the people who have become on my PR team had the initiative to actually ask. I'm always impressed by people who are proactive. So if you're interested in going up the ranks, doesn't mean don't sit and wait to be discovered. Make sure people know what you're doing.
Yeah, and you can also keep your eyes peeled for when there are open calls for the jobs. But in the meantime, you can also offer, and the person might say, sorry, the team's full at the moment, but they'll keep you in mind for when something does open up.
And it probably will.
Yeah, if they don't know you're interested, they can't consider you.
Exactly.
That's the important point. And I do, there's a lot of times where people do say, why do only these certain people get these roles, and why do so and so and so? It's because they've either put themselves in the position to do so, they've asked to do the role, or they're the right person for the job. It's simple as that. It's nothing personal against anybody. It's just that I pick the person who I feel for my team, who I feel is the best person for the role. And I've made some mistakes in the past, I'll certainly grant that, but I think from now the PR team is really kind of getting itself onto its feet as the right people have got into the right roles. And I think that's just the way the Mercs works. If you want the role, just make sure that people know that you want it.
And finally for May, we have Hunter 77.
For the other gigantic clan in the Mercs, SVC, down in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just make a big point here that it's the second biggest clan, because I made the mistake of calling it the biggest clan, and that made the BBC mad. So let's just make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, as you know, there's the positivity that comes out from the BBC, but you don't mess with their stats.
It's these acronym clans. They're all problems.
Yeah. Sorry. Burinar Verda and Shanare Vakedla. There we go. Say that instead, or we can just shorten it.
Yeah.
But same kind of thing. Hunter stepped up after the previous Allerite stepped down, and he's been doing a fantastic job managing all of the many events that they do and all the hard work that goes into their cons as well. So,
well, congratulations for not burning out. I think that's another thing. Yes, you should say, because with big clans you have to be very organised.
Yes.
And I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages. With a big clan, it's more likely that you're going to get more people to go to events. That's always a plus. Also, with a big clan, you there's more people who are going to put their own money towards building stuff and buying items and cool stuff for the table and so forth. But the problem is the actual administration You know, you've got 42 members. You've got to administer 42 members. So I won't get too far into it, but I think we're quite concerned, or well, I'm concerned definitely about burnout on members. And we're probably going to talk to that about on Battlecry, I think, as well. So we were having a discussion now in the PR team, definitely. So it is something that we're very concerned about, because it is a voluntary thing to do, and nobody should be finding themselves stressed by donning armor or doing anything. You know, you should always do something to your thing. I know sometimes I sound quite harsh to people, but I genuinely believe if you don't enjoy something, then you shouldn't be doing it. And so that's why I always worry about people who burn out on things. It's slightly facetious. It is, you know, congratulations, because these people are organising big groups and doing a good job of it, and that should be applauded every time.
Exactly. I think that wraps up all we've got for Mercs news. Not much this month, unfortunately.
No, none at all. But we do have a whole bunch of Star Wars news.
I think the Star Wars news is very insignificant.
It is insignificant. We have one little thing, really. I mean, there are a couple other little things, but we got one little thing I suppose we really should talk about. It's that whole they announced who the cast is going to be thing for Episode 7. And moving on from that... But in all honesty, they did confirm finally that the main cast is all essentially returning. We've got Anthony Daniels, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Peter Mayhew all coming back to the franchise.
But there's no Billy Dee.
No Billy Dee yet. And, I mean, additionally, like, my thing on that is I personally really hope that we do, that Billy Dee Williams does return. But, I mean, because I'm seeing, like, maybe Lando's not that big a character. Maybe he's just a cameo. Or maybe, like in the originals, they're saving him for the second edition, you know, the second installment.
That'd be dumb.
As long as he's not wearing the wrong person's clothes again.
Oh, well, I don't think they'll do that again.
Because I don't think you'll say no to Star Wars.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, Corey D. Williams is the son of Billy Dee. Mm-hmm. He actually, like, put out a tweet saying that my dad will not say no to Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, like, why would you, honestly?
I don't know. If you're a crazy person.
Yeah. I don't know. I turned them down. I don't want to be in that movie.
But, like, well, just imagine, just like Star Wars, Episode 8, Lando.
Lando.
Done.
It's not one of the side movies. No.
No.
He is the plot.
Yes.
The Rise of Lando.
Ooh, that's a good working title.
That is a great working title.
Speaking of potential working titles.
Yes.
There've been a couple floating around. What was the first one again, Tobias? The earlier one?
A New Dawn, which sounds a lot like Twilight. Yeah. So let's cross our fingers that's a new one.
Because I think they're gonna abandon that one, because they did announce the new one, which is The Ancient Fear. Which
was it The Ancient Fear or An Ancient Fear?
It's either way. An Ancient Fear, The Ancient Fear. The Ancient Fear sounds more ominous to me.
Indeed. Because
An Ancient Fear just sounds like you're an old man, and you're still afraid of spiders. You know. So it's. But again, like I believe Saz pointed this out in the pre-cast talks, was that, I mean, it's J.J. Abrams. I doubt this is what it's actually called either.
And I think my general point was is that we spent half the time watching the second Star Trek thing, saying, "Oh, it's going to be Wrath of Khan, isn't it?" No, it's not. No, it's not Wrath of Khan. No, it's not Wrath of Khan. Yes, it was Wrath of Khan. You cannot trust a single word that comes out of J.J. Abrams' mouth.
No.
He will allow anything to... He will misdirect you, he will guide you. You can't trust a word he says. So if that probably is going to be the title, he's just going to deny it. all the way through until the day it opens up, and oh yes, it really was that after all. I mean, it's like the point where he says, "Oh yeah, well, there's not going to be any lens flare in the second film."
Uh-huh.
Well, why are my eyes hurting?
Lies. So for the second Star Wars movie, he's like, "It's not going to be the Rise of Lando. It's not going to be the Rise of Lando." Okay, it's the Rise of Lando.
Yeah.
Oh, I can only hope, man. So I mean, it's good...
When I found out about the news of, you know, all the original players coming back, I fangirled.
I mean, sure.
I think we all did. I mean, it's, they're like, oh, what do you, like, all my coworkers, everybody's like, oh, what you think about the announcement? I'm like, that's the only answer I can have. It's like, why would I hate this news?
Yeah.
Yep.
They also did announce the rest of the primary cast. Many of them I personally don't recognize, and most of the people that I've talked to, like at work and on Facebook and stuff, don't really know who they are in particular either.
Some of them are new to the acting scene, which should be interesting.
That's what they did with the originals. I mean, Harrison Ford was really the only one who had any like Hollywood experience, and he'd only done like a movie and a half.
Well, and he wasn't even originally going to be...
No, he was just a carpenter who was reading lines.
And I think they did do that as well with, like, the prequels as well, because, I mean,
yep.
like,
yeah,
Liam Christensen wasn't known that well, or yeah. Ewan McGregor. Or...
In episode one, pretty much, aside from a couple of Star Wars veterans, it was just Samuel L. Jackson and Liam Neeson were really the only two super big guys.
Yeah.
At that point, yeah, everybody else was a relative newcomer. But they have announced of the more famous people who are joining the Star Wars universe, Andy Serkis.
My precious!
Yep. So, I mean, guaranteed we're not going to see his face for three movies again.
I don't know. I'm hoping that he actually gets an actual face part, but likely it's more CGI motion capture.
Which
should be interesting to see what they have him... you know, performing as
Jar Jar Binks' son.
Okay, now you're actually fired.
but I mean, he is the king of motion capture, so I mean, guaranteed he's gonna be somebody, even if it's just like a droid that, you know, they couldn't possibly fit a human inside. They couldn't get someone like Anthony Daniels to cram inside a tin can for, you know, a month at a time.
Yeah.
But among the other cast members they've mentioned are John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, and Domhnall Gleeson are all new. I don't know.
John Boyega shouldn't surprise me. I don't know if you've seen the film called Attack the Block.
I have not, personally.
It's a great movie.
It's a British movie. The other half of Simon Pegg in it as a small cameo to give it some sort of credence. So basically, it's a really good sci-fi meets London backstreet film. You should see it. That's his recommendation.
It's,
yeah,
it's quite enjoyable, so I recommend it as well.
But I mean, the one thing you've got to remember is that a lot of the casting happened. You know, a lot of, you know, the film, it's been filmed in England, so it may be that it's just a. Some of these castings may be because they happen to be in that time or able to, you know, they were the ones ready to cast themselves at that time, in that place, at that thing. It's really strange with actors. I always find actors such strange people, but the one thing that they do is they make themselves available for work.
Yes.
So it's I mean, I've seen some other things. There's someone called Ed Spielers, which I don't know if he's actually part of it, but he's just one of these things. But he's from Downton Abbey, which if you don't know what Downton Abbey is, you don't know your British rubbish anyway.
Yeah. Well, Domhnall Gleeson played one of the Weasleys, Bill Weasley, I believe, in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The eldest of the Weasleys.
The one.
And he was actually also in Dread. People probably won't recognize him, but he was that the hacker.
Okay.
Oh, I
thought clan, the clan techie.
No. Okay.
You really don't.
Was it, no, have you
not the old Dread, the new Dread.
Yeah.
No.
You know, I think the weird thing is that there's now actually very few American actors anymore.
Yeah.
You're either Australian, British, or Canadian.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Come on, America. Pull your socks in.
Did you mention Max von Sydow, though? Because that's a character. That's a role that I'm. Or a person cast. I'm very interested to hear what role he will be playing.
Wait, he was. Really?
Max von Sydow, yeah.
I thought he was dead.
Oh, he is, but no.
he's got a really good range as an actor.
Well, yes, definitely. Like in all honesty, like I did not know that he was in that he was announced as the cast for this.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's
probably one of the.
Well, now
most
you know, but knowing half the battle.
Well, that is awesome. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, we got a guy who can go from playing Dune, you know, nice another big sci-fi epic. To tricking
Crow to thinking that he's dead.
Well, I mean, the man is 85, and all of the movies that I've seen him in, like, yeah, Dune was the newest one, and that was 1984 before I was born. but yeah, I mean, he was Blofeld and Never Say Never Again.
You know, he was
85.
Would
he play old Obi-Wan?
He was in The Exorcist. You know, he was the Exorcist. So. All right.
Well, he was also in Minority Report, Shutter Island.
Never saw Minority Report. Heard it was terrible.
He's been in a lot, though. So, I'm definitely interested. I want to know what he's cast as, like what role he's got. Because
yes.
Whatever character he's playing is going to be awesome.
If he's that old, then it's probably old Obi-Wan, maybe.
Oh, dude, wait, he was Esbern in Skyrim, too? Wow, man.
Yeah.
I am behind the times. Not knowing who's dead or not.
So that's quite exciting.
And they've also, in other Star Wars news, they've also released a nice minute-long trailer for Star Wars Rebels.
Or according to people in Britain, 60 minutes.
Yes. It's a different scale. It's like metric to stone.
Hey, no. As a Canadian, I'm calling you out on that.
Hey, I said metric to stone, not metric to imperial. They still weigh each other based on the weight of local stones.
Okay, I'll allow it.
But in the trailer, you know, we get to see a lot of cool stuff. We get to see Sabine blowing some stuff up. Most importantly, you know, we get to see the ship. We get to see, you know, all of this concept art we've finally seen in motion. We get to see the Sith Inquisitor,
some stormtroopers
shooting
zero gravity fight.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, let's be honest. We don't really get to see that much. We get to see just enough to make me want to go over to Dave Filoni's house and say, "Give me the movie now! I don't want to see it now."
Except it's not a movie; it's a TV show.
See, they are. Yeah, as far as I'm aware, they
He's
are.
From Britain.
They're avoiding doing. Yeah, everything's just longer over there. Oh. Oh,
no,
my.
I'll take your word on it.
To be honest, our TV shows are basically along the lines of, so, Cynthia. Oh. Yes. Ah. That's drama in Britain.
Yeah, and that goes on for another 40 minutes.
You forgot the fancy a spot of tea.
Whoa! No.
Racism. Shots fired.
Look, I'm allowed to do my own casual racism, but you can't. We'll have to have a word you ain't sure. I'm sorry. We're
going
to have to deal with you later.
We'll settle this at Celebration 7.
See, I don't know why you guys are arguing. The Queen's on your on both of your money. Rebels, that's what we were actually talking about.
Yeah.
Rebels looks cool.
It looks really cool. The trailer is not, like, the best video quality, I think, so, like, some of the textures and stuff don't quite look there to me. Like, I mean, it looks like Season 1 of The Clone Wars, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
Because they are technically, I mean, most of the production crew is the same, but, you know, the actual people, like, I'm sure they're dealing with a lot of, like, a whole new animation department and all that
sort
of stuff.
Style.
Yeah. Same basic style. I mean, it's changed a bit. It's, you know, evolved a bit.
Certainly more colorful.
Yes.
This is true.
Yeah, like gray and brown are not the the two primary colors used on everything.
I suppose in one way, the way that they portrayed it, it was a lot more exciting. It was a lot more dramatic. It was a lot more, look how we're going. It's a lot happier. Yeah. It's almost building up to the New Hope sort of thing.
I was going to say, to me, it feels very much original trilogy.
Right.
It's got that feeling behind it where this is like original trilogy. This is classic Star Wars. You know, obviously it's not classic Star Wars, but it has the same kind of, it lends the same sort of feeling in the trailer initially anyways, so hopefully that'll carry through as the general sense of the TV show.
One real problem I have, though, they do show the main Jedi character towards the end.
Here we go.
He's like, okay, it's time for me to be a Jedi. We got some stormtroopers happening here. So he pulls out a lightsaber, but he has to screw both halves of it together first.
Yeah, what's missing is the scene right before that where he puts in the 3 D-cell batteries.
Right, which, I mean, it does lend itself to some realism. Finally, all my lightsabers in the closet here look much more screen accurate.
You keep your lightsabers in the closet.
The lightsabers, yes.
Yes. He's got a lightsaber safe beside his gun safe.
Yes.
America.
America. You joke.
I actually had a friend that had a gun safe. He had a couple guns in it. Then he had like lightsabers in it. It's like, dude, you're a big nerd.
Well, you can't just leave the lightsabers lying around. You can't just leave the lightsabers lying around, because if the lightsaber's sitting out, then they can just cut into the gun safe.
Yep, it's true.
So you gotta lock up those sabers, too.
But, I mean, what gets me about that shot is, okay, like, I get that he's probably got it hidden on his gear, as, you know, just like a hydro spanner or something, just to say, so he's not walking around with a lightsaber hanging off his belt being all conspicuous. But at the same time, that's hardly, like, a ready weapon. It's like, oh crap, I'm gonna get arrested by the feds, by the Inquisitor. I'm like, oh wait. Alright, let's go.
Well, who knows, maybe that'll play into one or two scenes where he's actually fumbling around trying to put it together before he's in battle, or middle of the battle he's going, where's the third D-cell battery?
Yeah.
Son of a...
Yeah, it's like, I lost a battery. Who's...
It's son like, of a battery.
No, I can't use that.
Positive to positive, not positive to negative. Oh no.
That's a D. I can't use a D.
And then a little pink bunny comes back clapping cymbals. I think the only thing that I partly agree with you with, because if I remember correctly, reading, you know, the whole lead up towards it was telling, introducing the characters to you. If I remember correctly, this character's supposed to be a reluctant Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first chance he gets, he screws his lightsaber together and starts announcing himself to the world. I mean,
you don't necessarily know that this is the first chance he gets. It could be the third chance he gets, or the second.
Either way, it's going to happen in the first episode. Like, within the first, well, maybe hour. Maybe it's a two-parter. So, but within the first hour of this new show, a lightsaber will be screwed together and used in public.
Be afraid.
Be very afraid.
I suppose in that way, I always find the problem with lightsabers is like asking a 12-year-old to not open his Xbox for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not going to happen, is it? They're not going to do a Star Wars without someone igniting something. So. It's one of these parts of it's part of Star Wars, and it's what you've got to expect.
It's iconic, yeah.
Yeah, and also, let's not forget the whole point about this is it's a children's show. We're grown adults sitting here taking apart a kid's show, which is done on Disney XD.
What? This is a kid's show?
It's a kid's show, yeah. It's there since you went on Disney XD. Do you watch it? I mean, I don't exactly watch Disney XD for political intrigue.
What are you talking about? They've got some great satirical comedies at late at night.
I thought Hannah Montana.
You're not supposed to know about that. You're from a different country.
That's about the state senator of Montana, right?
It's the best of both worlds, so what I hear.
The beauty of that is, like, the more time goes on, the more that is a satirical comedy.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, yeah, it's a kid's show to an extent, but at the same time, looking at Clone Wars as well, it was geared to the kids, but it still has elements that are enjoyable for all ages.
So yeah, it catches its generation young at an age, and then it grows up throughout the thing. I don't know if Disney will actually change that process, because don't forget, you know, Lucas had its own philosophy about doing it, but now obviously they've got to run it under Disney's rule, so it might stay a kid's show forever. So,
or we may see another Splinter show where Rebels carries on and progresses with the children as they age throughout a couple seasons, whereas they may come out with another Star Wars TV show that starts them off young and brings them up as well.
Well, I would certainly stand up and applaud if our Jedi character ends up dying at some point and then becoming like a ghost for one of the other characters. I think that would make a lovely little plot twist.
That would be really good. Actually.
But I the one thing that I really hope does not happen is that one of the female characters, the strong independent female characters that they've been really hard trying to point out to us, don't turn into a Princess Leia or a Padme and start off as strong independent characters and then become gushing messes for one of the lead male characters, because, you know, we're past those times now. You know,
we need the lead male character to become a gushing princess for the female character.
Well,
it would be a change.
Yeah, it certainly would. I don't think you'd see many young boys getting behind that character, but, you know, it's certainly one for egalitarianism. I can tell you that now. But I mean, especially our Mando girl. If she suddenly becomes gushing towards some guy, it's, you know, that's a switch off moment for me. But, you know, I there's lots of potential in that. There's lots of stuff that we like to see. I think what I like about this Rebels over that is it's got a lot of stuff that we've got familiar, and it's got new stuff so that we can get behind a new story sort of thing. It's what I think everybody hoped that The Phantom Menace would be. I think it's that lesson that the people who've made Star Wars have kind of learnt. And I think The Clone Wars, as it's got better over the series, has really, they've got themselves comfortable, they've got into the seat, they've ironed out all the kinks, they've made it. And towards the end, Clone Wars is really almost like must-watch TV for me personally. And they've learnt those lessons, and now they're going to start again with Rebels in a period that most people do know and love, and they're going to tell brand new stories. I can't find anything more exciting than that.
Definitely exciting, that's for sure. Looking forward to it.
And it's kind of helping us in ways that, you know, they're bringing out new Star Wars and stuff. It keeps us valid, and with, like, trooping, we will probably be very busy come 2015 across the board, from the Legions to the Mercs, that we're going to be very employed in a volunteer sense, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so for our final segment on this month's episode, we have our Facebook Q&A. So questions from you, the listener, posted on the Kel Dobby Talk Radio Facebook page or the Mandalorian Mercs Facebook page. So we'll start out with Saz. You have one of the questions to field.
Yeah, I have one from Dean Hernandez. It says, if you can't build your own helmet, what are some other options? Are there any you can buy? Well, first of all, everyone can build their own helmet. It just depends on whether they can do it well or not. You know, everyone can give it a go. So I would first say that, you know, if you have the option of trying, just give it a go. Just see if you can build your own helmet, because there's nothing more personal to a Mando than his helmet, and there's nothing more proud that you can do if you can say to someone, I've built this myself. I know, because I build a lot of helmets for people, and I get an immense amount of pride looking at them in their final kit and knowing that's my helmet, and that's, you know, that I've played a part in making their kit become a reality. So some other options, you can buy things like their Django two-piece, which will need work on it. You can buy copies of the Hasbro, which I think the Hasbro Bobba Bucket, but I think they've come out of production now, so they're going to start getting a bit more rare. Also, there are a lot of really good sellers out there who make different types of helmets, and also they also make some modifications of different helmets as well. So if you've got a particular style that you want to go for, there's a lot of people out there that make different types of Mandalorian helmets. The one thing you've just got to make sure is that your helmet has a T-visor on there, or at least something that can be recognized as a T on there. So that's where you want to go there. And if you want to buy something, then I would suggest that you pop onto the Mercs at www.mandalorianmercs.com and find the trading station and just have a quick search around there, and I'm sure you'll find a lot of people who'll be able to make a helmet for you.
There we go.
Jared Littell says, I can get Lexan, which is a plexiglass material, pretty easily. How hard is it to heat form, and how does it compare to Sentra PVC? Well, Lexan is not a material you would want to use for armor, because it has to get really hot to form it. Unless you know what you're really doing, then I would say go with Sentra.
Yeah, it's like really, really, it's really durable. Like, it's some of the best, like, camping, cookware and, like, bowls and plates and spoons and stuff that I've ever had were all Lexan, and I've never had to replace them. But yeah, yeah, it's like, it's that kind of thing. It's like, it's something that durable is not easy to work with.
Yeah, you usually need a machine to actually start casting it into stuff as well.
Mm. Yeah, you can treat it more like a metal, almost. When it comes to Lexan, I've used it for other purposes, like robotics, for just the platform that the robot's being built on. You can bend it in a metal brake, and that it'll hold that bend. So it's not really something you want to be heat shaping, especially given what temperatures you're going to need it for, in order to get that shape to get pressed into it and then also hold.
And I do know there is one member, his name's Prylantis from the Uspire clan in Kansas. He says he uses a plexiglass. I don't know if it's Lexan, but it works for him. So, I mean, I'm directing you to him for any questions.
It can be done, but there's a reason most people use Sentra, which is it's a lot easier to work with, and it's you know, economically sound. So we recommend Sentra.
You can, I mean, if you sort of know what you're doing, you can use it to make a T-visor. I think that's actually one of the materials that the T-visor.com guys have used before. You would get a really nice, durable T-visor if you can use it, but yeah, it's a lot of work.
Well, the other thing is, if you don't have a lot of money, there are other options. As I explained at the start of the podcast to the guys, is that I do a lot of experiments with different materials and how they form together. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. Now, I mean, my five plates are basically two pieces of card that have been fiberglassed front and back, and then some Bondo has been put over the top of it. It's lightweight, but it looks hard, and it knocks. It's a hard armor, but that's just been made out of cardboard. But it's been turned into fiberglass because I used a specific cardboard that actually that actually soaks the resin into the cardboard, so it actually becomes part of the actual fiberglass itself. That's only because I've been doing a lot of work with fiberglass in the past. I've also been doing some experiments with things like foam board, which is a foam between two pieces of paper. And as long as you don't get anything onto the foam underneath, you can actually make a soft thing. Now, it will have a hard outer shell, but a soft inner shell. And, you know, that's another option for you. Experiment with stuff and see how you can do things cheaply, because the more mistakes you make, the more expensive it's going to be anyway. And so if you're starting to use things like Sintra, always make sure you've got card templates in the first place. And always keep your templates, because you never know when you need to redo your armor.
Mm.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right, so Thaxos, you had a question to field?
Yes, I do. So this question comes from Jeremy Allen Knopf. and he says that he's curious. He's new to the Star Wars Costume Club world, so as far as the Mando Mercs go, are there specific time frames you have to have your kit in for? For example, canon episodes 1 through 6, or could it be a kit based on Mandalorians from the Extended Universe content, such as Knights of the Old Republic, or the Old Republic video game, or other video games slash books? Well, on our site, if you go to the homepage, on the left-hand side, you will see a link to the costume requirements. And from that page, you can see that we've got five categories currently. We've got the canon characters, which are specific detailed characters from the movies or also from other references like the novels and the video games. We've got the modern era, which covers the standard Boba Fett, Jango Fett template armor. And then from the earlier times, we've got Neo Crusader, Crusader, and early. So the early era covers the Mandos from way back, thousands of years before the Battle of Yavin, and there's more details on each of these on our site. there are some things like the, as you mentioned, the Old Republic Star Wars video game, the more recent one. There's a couple instances of people that are doing the armor from that, but we don't actually have a separate section of CRLs for that. Your best bet is to contact the app team. I believe only the armor pieces in the game listed as Mandalorian are accepted for that. Another example of an era that doesn't quite have a full set of CRLs yet would be the Legacy era, as we don't really have a lot of references from the comics. We've got Legacy era kits, such as myself. I draw some inspiration from that when I redesigned my kit for version 2.0. But again, you best bet is to talk to the app team on the specifics of that. Otherwise, as you know, the Mandalorian Mercs, we allow the custom Mandalorians, so there's a large variety of ways you can go about customizing your Mando, whichever era it does fall under. And back to you, Crow, for the final question.
Mickey Grochi, I'm going to say, asks, how to form a backplate from Sintra, if we're familiar with forming backplates. We are. My original backplate, when I about 3 years ago, when I got official, was made out of Sintra. I switched to a metal plate, but I'm now rebuilding my armor, so I'm going back. It's the same sort of thing that you would use to, same techniques you would use to form any part of your Sintra armor. The way that I personally do it is I use a heat gun, which is essentially just a hairdryer on steroids. It'll heat up to like 400 degrees, 400 or 500 degrees, depending on the model you have. And you just sort of just point it at the part where you want the curve to be, down towards the bottom where around where your kidneys are, or up on the top where it actually curves over your shoulders. You would just point where you actually want the bend to be, keep a nice even heat over the area. If you just point it right at one spot and leave it, you're just going to end up melting a hole through your Sintra, and you won't be able to actually shape anything. And then, you just keep that going and steadily bend it with your hand. Wear gloves. Always wear gloves with a heat gun.
Yeah. I never do that.
Like, you're either just going to, burn your hand on the gun accidentally, or if you heat up the Sintra enough, it's like touching a white plastic pudding, and some of your hand will stick with it. And then the other trick, the other half of that I do is to help keep the curve set, and actually to get it really nice and bent, is either dip it in cold water or run it under a cold faucet. And that'll just shock the plastic into place. Half the time, you can actually see the plastic just bend itself as far as it'll go, based on how you've heated it. And that'll also cool off the section and set the curve. And once it's the beauty of Sintra is once it's set, it's set. Once you've bent it, you're good to go, and it won't move again until you heat it or break it. The backplate's a bit difficult because it has a bunch of different curves, and some of them are complex multi-directional curves, so you just have to do like one bend at a time. But Sintra is really neat because it will take those bends and those curves, just as long as you're patient.
I think the best advice I could possibly give is based on my own experience, I'm a big boy, and I find it very hard to get my hands around my back. So the only way that I can do it is by having actually someone else do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So an armor mm-hmm. party is always a great idea for a back yeah. plate.
Well, even if you're a small guy, like I'm not a big man. I am very tiny.
He's 95 pounds. So
but it's but even so, like you can't, you know, you can stick it on there and hope for the best, but you're not actually going to even see what it looks like.
I think one of my thighs is 95 pounds. but the other thing is,
no, Saz, the weight, not the currency.
Cheap day, cha-ching. What can I say?
Yeah, but, I mean, the other thing is, because we Brits generally tend to be quite comfortable with who we are, we tend to hug each other a lot, especially, so it's very good for getting back plates on, because once you've got the full pressure of someone's body weight against you, and with hot cincher on your back, it tends to bend quite quickly. So it's always good to have somebody else come in there and get up close and personal with you and get those bends right, because they can see what they're doing. That's mm-hmm. that's the thing. I mean, everyone can see what they're doing with the front plate, because you can do it in a mirror, but it's very hard to do that with a back plate. So my top tip is wait till you've got a mate to help you do it.
I'll agree with Saz that we've done that before. You just get some Vade or some chaps together, and you know, it's just like you have the one person there with their back, and you have a couple other people. You hold the back plate, and one heats it up, and then you try to get it to, you know, form to their back. And just the one trick that you want to make sure you don't have is the floating back plate syndrome, where it's like it doesn't look like it's connecting. So just make sure that it looks like it's actually setting on your back. So
yeah, you want those side shots to look good.
Back plates are a very good excuse for an armor party.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's how I see it.
Yes.
If you've got a back plate problem, call an armor party or have people come around your place, because you'd be pretty sure that probably that's the big thing that most people will struggle with. So, you know, if there's five or six of you, or even if there's just two or three of you, you know, just get together and just agree that you're going to help each other get your back plate sorted. And it also builds, as I've mentioned before, camaraderie and friendship between you, because you're interacting with each other and you're helping each other achieve a goal that you both are aiming for. So, yeah, just find someone who'll help you. Even if it's just, you know, if you don't want to do that, ask a family member, you know, ask an understanding family member. Maybe that's probably the better way of saying it. But, you know, find someone who's willing to help you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And especially if you're younger, like if you're someone who's perhaps a bit too young to be an official member yet, definitely ask your parents before dealing with any sort of heat source that can melt Cintra. Just, you know, very good idea.
If in doubt, use a cloak as well. I know a lot of people get, you know, a lot of people get a bit arsy about back plates and how they should have back plates. Rah 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 rah. Now, yeah, okay. By definition, yes, they should. But the fact is that sometimes you want to get yourself to that convention. And as long as you make the promise, like I did myself, okay, it took me 3 years to do it. And it took me 3 years to find someone willing to touch me. I think that was the actual truth. But it was, you know, it was always been my intention to have a black back plate. But at the time, I felt, you know, I want to get this done. I want to get myself committed, because I wanted to get to this Milton Keynes event. And so I put myself a cloak now. The other challenge that you have with a cloak is that you've got to make sure it's properly tailored, and you've got someone who can properly do it for you. It's not just get your local bed sheet and stick it on your back thing. You make sure it's done. It's always a fact of if you are going to not have a back plate, make sure your cloak is of a very, very, very high standard and quality, or don't bother at all. That's the basic element. It's either a back plate or a high quality cloak. It's one or the other. Both of them take work. One of them is a lot easier to do than the other on your own, and that's a cloak.
Mm.
So just you know, make the decision. But I would recommend that you always aim to get a backplate in the end. But if in doubt, get a cloak until you can find someone who can help you get a backplate sorted.
Yeah,
because you can just buy a backplate.
Yeah, I mean, it'll still probably need a little bit of shaping, but you'll at least have all of the major bends sorted out already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll be halfway there. But yeah, aside from the helmet, the backplate is definitely the most complicated single piece of armor to do.
Mm. Well, to be honest, I think the backplate is actually personally is more complicated than the helmet. especially if you follow things like the Wizard of Flight examples for the templates you get with that, and you know, I think it's Ant-Man, is it, who did a step-by-step guide to it.
I believe
you just
so.
Follow that. You follow that through, and I mean, I was looking through it, and I thought, yeah, that's, you know, I wish before I made my helmets that I'd seen Wizard of Flight before. It would have made my life a hell of a lot easier, but. It's you know, there's always a step by step guide, and you can do that, and you've got it in front of you. With a back plate, it's so hard to do because it's just you on your own. It's hard to get it done.
All right, and that's about all we have for this month's episode.
What? All we have.
Yeah.
All we have.
Yeah, that
I've
is.
I've been here for 3.5 hours, and no one has offered me a cup of tea.
No. And that is all we have for this month's episode of Kildami Talk Radio.
Hydra!
So on behalf of Tobias Creed, Thaxos, and our special guest, Saz, thank you for listening, and tune in next month. Everybody bye. Say bye.
Good having this chin wag with you.
Am I supposed to respond that in any sort of polite way?
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.